We continue talking from Daniel, the fifth chapter, about the fall of Babylon, which happened on the night of the great feast of Belshazzar and 1,000 of his lords. And the Bible says, suddenly the fingers of my man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand, perhaps the golden lampstand, removed from the temple in Jerusalem, on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. So the holy lampstand is casting light on a wall where suddenly they see writing developing, and the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Now that would be strange. This would capture the attention and put a stop to the revelry that was happening in that palace. Notice the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. It is, when it says the hand, representing the hand of God, it's talking about his power, his authority, his ability to put a stop to things. The magicians of ancient Egypt on the fourth plague tried to duplicate the plague that was brought about by God through Moses and Aaron, and they were not able to duplicate it, and they said, truly, this is the hand of God. It was the hand of God that engraved on the two tablets of stone the Ten Commandments. Jesus, when he cast out demons, said it was done by the hand of God. The hand of God represents his power and his authority. And so here they saw the hand of God. In verse 6, then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him. His hip joints went slack. His knees began knocking together. I don't know if you've ever been afraid, ever had stage fright or something like that, but there's something that happens physiologically when a person is afraid. I remember my first solo in my airplane, and I had been up with my instructor several hours, and the instructor must have thought I was ready. And so he said, land the plane, taxi over here, which I did. And he got out. He said, okay, now go do 3 takeoffs and 3 landings. And I said, by myself? And he said, yes, it's time for you to solo. And so I took off. Taking off is no problem, but I circled around the airport and I came in for a landing. And I was so afraid. I mean, I did not have my instructor sitting beside me. I was so fearful of what could happen in the next few seconds that my head was literally shaking and I couldn't stop it. It was shaking. And I hung on to the yoke and I did everything I could to remember all the things that my instructor had taught me. And sure enough, I landed the plane safely. And I took off again, landed it again, took off again and landed it the third time. By then, my head quit shaking. But it was the only time in my life I was so afraid for my own life that my head literally shook and I couldn't stop it. So here the king's face grew pale. His thoughts alarmed him. His hip joints went slack and his knees began to knock together. Now I would just imagine that this king, in light of what was happening this night at the feast, had done a lot of other sacrilegious and wrong things. He knew of the conversion of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. He knew what was right and wrong. In fact, this is verified by Daniel later on in this chapter. And yet he deliberately did wrong, so he had guilt. And there's times when guilt comes to the surface. And this was one of those times. In other words, if he had been an innocent king doing what he thought to be right, he would not have been so fearful and alarmed when he saw the writing on the wall. In fact, the writing may not have happened. But the fact that his face grew pale, his thoughts alarmed him. Notice his thoughts alarmed him. His thoughts, that means his guilt. Everything was coming back to him. It's amazing how much the mind can cover in a matter of seconds. And so his thoughts alarmed him. His history of his kingship and his whole life went before his minds, his thoughts alarmed him. His hip joints went slack. His knees began knocking together. Truly, his guilt had surfaced, and we'll see more about this story tomorrow. Pastor Dennis, RealityCheckSeminars.com.